You really want this chair?
It's okay.
We got it.
It's good for my shiftless.
Did Robby hear the... I guess our went to the restaurant shy corner.
No, but we had a few Friday nights ago.
But I'm afraid that I'm
cheerleader. But the meeting's still happening.
So I made a list of topics of what to speak about tonight. And over Purim, a lot of guys are talking about different ideas of what to do. And I realized this is probably a very relevant topic. So I named the Vod tonight, although the person in charge of the recordings gets to name it himself, but I named it, I'm in Yeshiva, so what? That's why I named it. Okay. So I wanted to just go over the main benefits of being Yeshiva. A lot of people are making decisions on their future. And so it's good to revisit the reasons why we're in Yeshiva. Believe it or not, that it's the most beautiful life, and so happy, and every day is another Purim Suda. It's usually not the case. Okay, so I want to discuss first just the learning itself. So the Medrash brings down that the reason why Moshe was called Moshe Rabbeinu, and why he was Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, everyone followed him, is because of his amelus. That Kol Yisrael had confidence that he ultimately knew the Torah Hashem. That's pretty remarkable. That medrash is pretty remarkable. First of all, Moshe Benu was a very big anav. When you meet someone holy who is so humble, it's very inspiring. That may have been a I would have been fine if they would have said that's the reason why he was called Moshe Rabbeinu. You could have said he was the biggest Navi, which is also true. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem panim al panim. If I would find out someone had the ability to speak to Hashem face to face, that would also be pretty inspiring to me. But that's not what the Medrash says. His amelus gave people the confidence that I have to put my trust and someone who's telling me what the Das Torah is, the mitzvahs Hashem are, it's probably has to come from someone who you feel most confident that they put in the amelus and they most likely know. You know, we don't have elections. You know, the other religions, they have elections for who's going to be the Pope. They vote. And we don't have any votes. The Gedolim just emerge. The people that Klal Yisrael has faith in. That's the first thing I want to say, that the learning itself, we have to realize that when we learn, we want to know if in the future our kids are going to listen to us. Why would any kid listen to his parents or follow with what the parents do? So first of all, we don't know. You have to daven for that. But one good step in the right direction is that if our kids see that we have the amelus, and not that you need a recording and say, by the way, I really was learning when I was in Yeshiva here. Look, one day I was, it does not be. They'll know. If a person learns that somehow that gets into our systems, part of our DNA. So if we learn, it'll help even for our own children. They'll listen to us because they feel a little bit that we have the Dvar Hashem. But also, if anyone who's planning on ever being in a position of leadership, and all of us will be community members at the very least, even if we're not in our Bratz Torah, and Kol Shkein, those people who have any designs on Bratz Torah or Chinuch or Kiruv, that people will listen to you. You could be you'll be very the funniest person or the smartest person or the you know, the most entertaining person, and you have all the tricks in the book, but ultimately, if a person has, you know, that puts in that level of amelus, that's going to be why, ultimately, the people are going to listen to you. It's a very important episode. I apologize if the few things I'm going to say are not organized. I want to go to another one. So a lot of guys in yeshiva, the yeshiva is the best place. It's a factory for getting depressed. Because if you go into the Beis Medrash, especially now with the Otzis Farim coming, it's the best thing that the Otzis Farim was defunct. But once the Otzis Farim come, you see all the walls of Sfarim, and you see Shas and Poskim and Chumashim, Medrashim you never even heard of, and then you see voluminous productions on Shas and Chuvas that you never heard of, and you don't even know which things are in which Chelik Mishtabura, and there's like 25 volumes on Chelik Aleph and Shas and Chuvas Avnei Chaim, and you don't know what that, I made that up. And there is, and you don't know what they are. It could be very depressing because there's endless amounts of svarim. It's so hard, and that a person has to sort of restrain themselves. You know, that's why I think the real reason Rabbi Kleinerman says it's because they want to keep the basement clean. The real reason why they only allow Gemaras on the desk is because they want you to just learn Gemara. Do your Gemara. That's all you need. And when I visited Panovich many times, and we went to Slabodka Yeshiva, and there are no svarim. You go into these Bate Midrashas, I've been there a few times in the last few years. There's no Otzis svarim. I think they have some Chafetz Chaims outside, a couple of Musas svarim, but basically there's no shelves, and there's just Gemaras. You just have a Gemara. That's all they use. But a person has to remember that. My chavrusi, and I'm learning with Rabbi Yecheskel Ginsburg. So his great grandfather Rav Chatzko Levenstein. So there's a maisa there. I said this over once upon a time, so I apologize if you heard it already. But it's just a great. I told him to tonight. He said sounds right. So the Rebbe was leaving for a week, and he told them that I'm away for a week. Everyone should learn whatever they want to learn. You have a week, so. Accomplish. So one bacher decided that, there's a sugya that we're not going to get to. So he picked a sugya. He went through the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosis, all the Rishonim, Achronim, the Rashivas, and wrote up the sugya in a week. He wrote up a very nice sugya. And the other guy said, okay, sugyas, we do sugyas all year. I want to try and get closer to inching towards finishing the Masechta. So in that week, he just did Bekiyas all day. And he was able to accomplish five blot. By Smother Rabba, he had five blot that he normally wouldn't have done. He accomplished five blot. Then these two Bachrim met each other. What did you do this week? He says, I did the sugya. Wow, it's beautiful, what am I doing Bekiyas for? What am I, bus? I should do Be'in. I should have done Be'in. And the other guy says, what did you do? He says, I did five blot. He says, the sugya I did, it wasn't like I know it perfectly. Probably would have been better. The taka would have been good if I would have done five more blot. I taka would be close to the finish left, and maybe I would be more motivated to, during the summer, make a siyum. Maybe I should have done that. So Rav Chatzko Levenstein said to his Talmidim, which bacher do you think did the right thing? The one who did this? Who won? The one who did the sugya or the one who did the five blot? So they're going back and forth, and Rav Chesla says, no, I'll tell you who won. The Sutton won. The Sutton won. That's how it is. We're going to learn Be'ian and do the best we can, and the Sutton's going to say, you still don't know it. What you accomplish, you're wasting your time. You're learning Bekiyas, but look how many guys know it better, and you don't really know that Tosis. You did it. What you accomplish? You know who won? The Sutton won. We have to get past that. We can't let that happen to us. Then I want to say something else. So, yeshiva life, as much as we try, especially these days, there's so much activity going on. But at the end of the day, I went to says this to my, when he comes in to visit my share, and for those of you that had him in 12th grade, know he says this all the time. There's no barbecue that can outdo what it is to learn three star midday. There's nothing. There's no activity coming up. If you can't handle three sadarim, you're going to get overrun by the sadarim. It can't keep up with the activities. That's going to, you know, balance it out. You can't do it. And ultimately, you know, how are we supposed to stay the simcha? Because a person needs that feeling of, you know, it's going to be so positive and optimistic. How are we supposed to do that when there are, as I said, there are so many things that get us down? So I want to say over this, Vard, I think this is the Rosh Hashiva's shmooze with a knetch from me. So the Ramban says by the Masonim, they were all the kvetching in the Midbar, they were kvetching to Hashem, and there was considered a chait. So the Ramban says that the Masonim, they had a good taina. They were going deeper and deeper into the desert, and they had less and less amenities. Now, if you're running out of water, you're running out of food, and you're going further away from water and food. So their taina was legit. Like, what's going to be? We're going further away from help. When you need help, you usually go that way. Why are you going that way? So they had a good taina. So if they had a good taina, so what did they do wrong by all their kvetching? So the Ramban says, because Hashem told them, what you should have done is you should have looked back and you should have seen all the good that happened to you, and that you should have been besimcha. That's that's what the Ramban says. They should have looked back. There's probably a nice shmooze just on that. Wow, you see that you could just looking back is enough to overcome. I want to just spell it out a little bit more. So I could see if you want to look back, so you won't kvetch. But how is that supposed to make you besimcha? Looking back to say, okay, maybe it won't be as doomsday as it looks, so I won't complain. But how did they get to the level of simcha? So we see from here that even when there's hardships, even when it's hard, it's possibly besimcha. Rabosai, every one of us knows that on a regular trajectory we have no business being here. From what I know of many of you, it would make no sense. You know there are many stops on the road that would not have gotten us here, sitting here right today. You know it, and yet you're here. So when the situation arises that you have a difficulty, you have to look back. We have to look back and realize it's mamish just the sutton. It's just the sutton getting to us. And that's enough to, yes, we can even be besimcha. Hashem, we did it then, it's going to happen again. It's mamish the sutton. And every one of us, I know it myself, I don't know each of your stories, but there's probably every one of us has their story that it makes no sense. And looking around the room, I know very well that many of us know that that's true. That there are so, the likelihood of us sitting here today, you know, as we are, March 26, 2024, singing bass Spanish, is not where it would make sense for me to be. I would have even thought it was reasonable to Vegas would have odds. I don't mean the Yeshiva of Vegas. The Vegas have odds that we would not be sitting here today. So we have to remember that. I want to speak about the Koach HaTorah.
So you look back and therefore
you look back and see that Hashem helped us out. Hashem helped us out. He's going to help us more.
So,
hold on. We have that hack on the shmooze after. It's not good for the recording guy. Okay, so I want to tell you another Koach HaTorah. Rav Aaron Kotler passed away in 1961, I believe. 1961. I want to tell you what he said. It's a quote. Achshav Omrim Habriot Shalakewood Shov Achatzi in New York. Now people say that Lakewood is an hour and a half from New York. Ach Yom Yavo, the day will come, the Yomar, people will say, Shem New York Shov Achatzi in Lakewood. That New York is an hour and a half from Lakewood. It happened. It happened. Brooklyn's only an hour and a half from Lakewood. You know, the Koach HaTorah of Aaron Cutler knew it. He wasn't a Navi. Maybe he was a Navi, but this statement was not Navius. This statement, as a person knows, that the Koach HaTorah is so great. Rabbi said, we can't calculate what the Koach HaTorah is for our personal selves. It changes the whole synergy of our trajectory. It's not calculable. We can't say, oh, there if I learn, go here. It's astronomical. You cannot ever predict it. And I see that in my life 100%. The Koach HaTorah is so astronomical that we can't even calculate it. So a person has to remember the Koach HaTorah. I remember my first hurricane here, I was petrified. I moved here in 94, and I think 95 there was this big hurricane. And they're saying on the news that you have to get boards on your windows. And I'm going with my wife to Home Depot, and we're getting boards like everyone else and screwing them in. Because there were no hurricane windows people didn't have. That wasn't being mass produced then. I was much petrified, a hurricane. Like, I don't know, I thought it was going to be a disaster. And I come to Yeshiva, and it was on 71st Street, and, you know, we've had floods even when it rains. And I go to see Rabbi Nachman, he's going, ho, ho, ho. And I said, Rabbi Nachman, aren't we nervous? Aren't we nervous about the hurricane? He says, in my home I put up a little bit, but Yeshiva is Koach HaTorah. And I was so moved by that. It's Koach HaTorah. It's like, Rabbi Nachman, you know, he really practices what he preaches. Koach HaTorah. The famous Maish, which I love saying over, from Nassim C. Finkel Zatzal, when one of the intifadas started, so he went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal to ask a shayla whether the Mir Yeshiva should use the Mamon Hekdesh to pay for security guards in the, you know, outside the Beis Medrash. So Reb Nassim, so Reb Chaim Kanievsky asked him, do the guys have cell phones in the Beis Medrash? So Reb Nassim, he said, yeah, they do. So he says, if they have cell phones, then you should get security guards. So, okay, just pause for a second. Just press pause on the story. It comes out, based on the Havamina, if they wouldn't have cell phones in the Beis Medrash, Reb Chaim said, you don't have to get security guards. Just to hear what that means. That, now I guess they would say, if it's only a flip phone, then it's fine. But the security guards, you don't even need a security guard with all the security going on, Koach HaTorah. You know, just remarkable Maisa. Okay, just there. That Maisa, that's how we paskin. We do our basic gestadlis with Koach HaTorah for the yeshiva. I'm not saying personal home is different, but yeshiva l'maisa, we do our gestadlis, but you don't have to worry about more. I want to just... What time do I have? I'm not about to go late. All right. That's what I'm saying. I want to say over this Maisa. So this is a Medrash Rabbah in Shmos. The Medrash says like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was learning for 40 days in Shemayim. And how did the sessions go? So the Medrash says he learned and then he forgot. Hashem taught him more and he forgot again. He kept learning and forgetting. After 40 days, he says, I'm learning here for 40 days, and I don't know a thing. So Medrash says, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He says, after the 40 days were completed, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu all of the Torah B'matana. As the Pasuk says, Vayitena Moshe, etc., etc. Medrash is going on the Pasuk. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudches. You can check out the Pasuk. So, Reb Zadel Epstein, I think that's one of the... In the Shema Bani, I think he's one of the Gedolim Reb Lubin writes up about This is not where I got this from. So he said, why did that? Rosetta Epstein asked, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it this way? That he learned with Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu had tsar. You know the tsar you have when you learn and you don't remember it? You don't remember a thing. You just did the whole sugya. You may even done the sikkum of the sugya. And then someone asks you the next day, what happened? How did Rabbi Lubin answer that kasha on the thing? And you say, on what? Of the sugya that? What sugya was that? And you don't remember. Why did Shem have to cause Moshe Rabbeinu the tsar? And then Moshe Rabbeinu had chalisha das, then Hashem gave it to him. I mean, you'd think that Moshe Rabbeinu did so much that you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just give it to him, like without him having the tsar, accomplish the same thing. Like, why torture him? I remember, before I get to the Reb Zeidel's answer, when I had to learn Yerodea, Choshen Mishpat Yerodea, so, you know, Chavetz Chaim, the smicha is different than every other yeshiva. Every other yeshiva, you take the bechinas in sections. So you learn Hilchas Shechita, take a test. You learn Hilchas Tarubas, take a test. You learn Hilchas Basa B'chalav, take a test. You learn Hilchas, what am I up to? Bas B'chalav, Tarubas, Malicha, take a test. Shechita, take a test. You learn Hilchas Edus, Chosh Mishpat, take a test. You learn Hilchas Dayanim, take a test. You learn all these different halachas, and you take a test. Every 2 months, another test, and after 6 tests, I finish my last test, I have smicha. No, that's not what I was doing. There's one test on everything. It's all or nothing. Okay? And you sit there, at least when my days, sat there across from my friend, one-on-one, oral. He has his 1,000 questions, he just goes through the thing, and there's nowhere to turn, and it's closed book. He lets you have a Shulchan Aruch open, just like to see the Tzuras Hadaf, but you're not allowed to look in. And it's petrifying. So I was learning that, and I couldn't figure out how am I going to get behind. I have a great memory. So I learned it. And after I spent, I don't know, about 9 months, 10 months, going through, I think from Pesach to Pesach, I've been Rosh Yeshiva's secretary also during that time. So from Pesach to Pesach, I was learning my Chavrusa. I finished. Now I have to Chazer. And I just take the position in Miami for El. So I had now like half of April, May, June, July, half of August. I had 4.5 months to take this Bechin and pass. I was starting to ask people, who do you pay? You know, is there any way to slip them some money to get it? I couldn't figure it. So I opened up the Yerodea to start Chazering. And I chazed now, the first thing I did from last April, I didn't remember what the words meant. So I told my chavrusa, I think I'm going to be the first person to fail the Bechina. I'm going to be the first person. And I took the job. I'm going to be known as the first reshiva called Mister. I was so scared. I didn't remember a thing. I didn't remember anything. I had to start all over again. But the second time I had to learn it, I did the whole thing, but I did it instead of taking 10 months, I did it in 2 months. So by June, I had chazed everything again. And I just kept going over and over until I took the Bechina on a Sunday. On Shabbos, the day before, I chazed all of Yerodea, Hilchas Shechita, Malicha, Basa B'chalav, Tarubas, Edus, Dayanim, on one Shabbos afternoon. That's pretty amazing. And I went into the Bechina, and I Mamish Kemat aced it. Thank God he didn't ask me any questions on Basa B'chalav a whole week over there. And I felt like Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the 40 years. But why did Moshe Rabbeinu need that Agva stuff? I relate to this Medrash. I experienced the same thing. And you know, if you, like when you come back after Purim and you want to get back into the sugya and you didn't remember what was going on, you feel like, I'm worthless, I'm a loser, nothing. So Reb Zeidel Epstein said, what's the teretz? Reb Zeidel Epstein was the Mashkiach HaTorah. He says, this happened dafka by Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Moser HaTorah, the person who gave over the Torah. He was the Talmud HaChoshev B'Yosef. He was the most Choshev of Talmud that is ever imaginable. And he learned by the most Choshev Rebbe, the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's probably a pretty good teacher, the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he learned by Hasmada. We know Moshe Rabbeinu learned by Hasmada. We already said that's why he's called Moshe Rabbeinu. He learned by Amelus. And he still didn't have it. Yet he didn't give up, and he davened. He davened that Hashem should help him. And Rabbi Zadel Epstein says that the reason why it happened that way is this is the derech for Hatzlach in Torah. That's the only way. You learn, you try and get it, you do everything you can, and then you daven. When you see that all your work, I need help, I can't get it, and then you daven for it, that's when you get it. That is the derech of Hatzlach in Torah. And Hashem showed us, what, you think you're better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Really? You really think you deserve better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Come on. You're good, but you're not that good. And no one could say that they're better than Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that to Moshe Rabbeinu. That he had the Agmas Nefesh, we have the Agmas Nefesh. And a lot of people maybe make decisions based on their the weaknesses that they have, the frustration they have. Why would I have to put up with this? It's a very normal feeling. It's very normal, but just be careful. Before you make the decision, know that many people before you have suffered the same. I just wanted to say one other mile, which is being yeshiva, because a lot of the thing I spoke about was the learning part. But you know, there are other parts to being in yeshiva that I didn't chap, that I didn't always understand the yeshiva shmuzim. I remember the Wednesday shmuzim were almost undecipherable. The yeshiva sometimes prepared the shmuz on the bima. He read these long pages of Rabbeinu Bachai, and he said, "Shtol Zachvar." And I said, "I don't know what just happened. Shtol Zachvar what?" I couldn't understand what happened. And Rabbi Semel told me the Rashiva, sometimes, like the Hanhala told him, I think the Rashiva should speak. They hear some Nivel Peh the guys used, and he would speak about Nivel Peh, and afterwards the Rashiva would say, "Nu, was that Gevish?" So Rabbi Semel said, "Rebbe spoke about Nivel Peh. Where was Nivel Peh?" "What do you mean?" I said about Kedusha Sa'ada and the Godless Sa'ada. You know, so they couldn't figure out what the Rashiva. Rashiva made no applications. There were no applications on the shmuz, and it was not easy to understand. I would have thought if anyone would have been a candidate to have gone through the years and not know what the Rashiva, get anything from the Rashiva, but it's not true. I speak all the time about the Rashiva. How did I get it? The Teretz is you get a lot of things, you don't even realize what you get. Hashkafa Satorah. I went with my class, I was teaching 10th grade years ago, and we went into New York, and Rabbi Reisman, I wanted to show them that Motzei Shabbos, 2,000 people learning. They never heard of anything like that. So that's why I went. But someone told me, before you go, just check out what the title is, because sometimes they know somebody went, and they were talking about the women's chiyuv and davening. My guys don't need to hear about women's chiyuv and davening. So I go in there, and I forgot to ask. I didn't know who to call. I go in there. I said, I just hope it's a good topic. And I just want them to see a shir of 2,000 people in Achiezer. So we go in to get them seats. And the shir is Chassidus. I see Chassidus. I said, oh, my gosh. I got to take my guys to a shir in Chassidus. First, I didn't know Rabbi Reisman so well. But I couldn't see the first word. It was Mishkol HaChassidus. And he spoke about every single thing. I heard everything from the Rashiva. He was quoting Rav David Leibowitz, Rav Palm's Rebbe. He was quoting Rav Palm on everything, on when you're supposed to be machmir, when you're not supposed to be machmir. You know, covering the challah. You know, a guy comes. You've heard this mashal. A guy comes home and he starts screaming at his wife that they have a whole company and his wife forgot to cover the challah. But if you deher, why you cover the challah? So the challah should be embarrassed from the wine, and you start yelling at your wife. Are you crazy? Don't you understand what you're doing? The simple things. I remember, I said this maisa over, just in this context. I remember when I was Rosh Yeshiva's secretary, there was a whole milchama going on in Eretz Yisrael, and the word got out that everyone should take on the Mekabel Shabbos 10 minutes early. Everyone's calling me, what does the Rosh Yeshiva hold? Should we do it? So how did I know? I called the Rashiva. Rashiva, no, they shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do it. And I know nowadays you hear people doing it. I don't want to, you know, Rashiva's not around. So I heard it directly from Rashiva. They shouldn't do it. He says, because they'll be Kabbalah Shabbos 10 minutes early. Yeah, beautiful. But if one couple in all of Kali Yisrael gets into a fight, because it's a very stressful time, if one couple gets into a fight over it, that causes more harm than the good of the rest of Kali Yisrael being Kabbalah Shabbos 10 minutes early. Mishkal HaChassidus, the Gedolim understand what makes sense. And he said, like, I'm an old man, and I remember the Chazanish and the Briska Rav and Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov and all these Gedolim, no one ever prescribed taking on Shabbos early as a segula. I'm not saying it's terrible. I see it sometimes from Choshva people. I don't want to say, maybe times change. I don't know. Maybe people don't argue with their wives as much as they used to. It's possible. But Mishkach, what you get from being yeshiva is that you have a whole derech. You could get a whole derech of everything. So before people make decisions, realize there's so much that we have to plow through some of the frustration. It's normal. And you want to say, why did Hashem do it that way? Just to be sovel. But sometimes that's the only way. That's the only way. Hashem created a Torah that He wants to give it to us b'matana. And we have to put all of our ishtadlis in, and then daven, and then Hashem is going to send it to us in matana. I could say, if anyone's a dugma for this, I went through all those frustrations, every single one of them, and I was able to live through it. So, Bez Hashem, we should use the opportunities to grow and not get down or depressed. And nobody should walk into the Yotzei Sfarim. Don't even look at any, not one of the Sfarim in the Yotzei Sfarim. It's just a fundraising opportunity. It was B'davka Moshe Rabbeinu, so that people should say, "But you think you're better than Moshe?" Moshe couldn't get the Torah without getting frustrated and without davening.